Iowan imbalance.
The Iowa caucuses are history, and amazingly, they've shaped and indeed reshaped the nature of the Democratic presidential primaries already. Amazing because when one considers the size of the state, not to mention the demographics, it can only be amazing that such a place has such an outsized impact on a nation of almost 300 million people. If the United States were stacked like books on the floor, with the top one representing the state with the largest population, California, incidentally, 29 states would be perched atop Iowa. Similarly, if one were to rate the states according to whiteness, Iowa would be the fifth whitest state in America. New Hampshire, the next site of the campaign, is even whiter, as also is Governor Dean's adopted state of Vermont. Yet Iowa, with all its rural charm and rustic beauty, has had an impact. Governor Howard Dean, the heralded frontrunner several weeks ago, is tumbling towards fourth place, and Senators John Kerry and John Edwards are soaring from their Iowa showings. What is also amazing is that the caucuses, which represent the voting preferences of 100,000 to perhaps 120,000 people, represents just under 4.5% of the state's population, and may yet prove the determinant who becomes the Democratic candidate for President of the United States. Some researchers have determined that the much-reported momentum coming out of the Iowa caucuses are largely illusory. According to a recent report in the Washington Post, a study of 10 contested nominations from both parties, dating from 1980, shows that either a first or a second place finish in Iowa did virtually nothing to improve statistical chances of winning. What was far more important, according to an American Political Science Association report, was the top fundraiser's identity and where one stood in the polls before the presidential year. Further, this early in the game, few audiences are really focusing on the pre-elections and caucuses, other than political reporters, pollsters, campaign activists, and big money donors. The grassroots still in slumber. What this means, of course, is that the process is increasingly anti-democratic, despite its name. It means that the very few, less than 5%, determine the candidates for the many. One can call this process anything one wants to call it, but democratic, it ain't. Such tiny, almost lily-white states as Iowa have enormous influence on all of the caucuses and primaries to come, because the system is hopelessly front-loaded with such states. Only South Carolina breaks this mold. So pivotal was Iowa that Senator Richard Gephardt, who ran ostensibly as Labor's candidate and pitched his tent around trade issues, has departed the pack, and according to press reports, will relinquish his Senate seat soon as well. Indeed, Gephardt's prior try for the White House tells the tale, for he won Iowa when he ran in 1988, but his momentum didn't last very long. Remember Bush the First and Quayle? They won that year. And here we are again, in the grips of a process where whiteness is the prized political characteristic, and it easily excludes millions of people of color, and repeat performance is set for New Hampshire. In a system where the Electoral College actually determines who wins and who loses, remember 2000, and therefore where small states have a disproportionate impact on an election process, this front-loaded system seems to be a double barrier to real democracy. The system still favors those it has ever favored. Those with the most money get the best chance to run the country for their class. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.